Acts 19, we pick up where we left off last week. Apollos, at the end of Acts 18, we were introduced to this guy Apollos. Verse 25 of chapter 18 said that Apollos knew only the baptism of John. And then it said that Aquila and Priscilla, as it says in verse 26, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Wow. So you can understand a lot about, because verse 24 spoke of Apollos and said he was an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Then verse 25 said, knowing only the baptism of John. And then 26 says that Aquila and Priscilla expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So even though he was eloquent and learned in the scriptures and knew the baptism of John, he could still learn the word of God more perfectly. And of course, Aquila and Priscilla had just been with Paul. And so we can infer from there that they taught and expounded the way of God more perfectly, meaning that the teachings of Paul unto Apollos. All right, so now we'll start in chapter 19, verse 1, our study for today. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, and remember the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians, you'll see that guy Apollos there mentioned several times. Well, there he is right there. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and we know later on we're going to find out certain disciples, there will be 12 of them. That is not the 12, it's 12 in number. Okay, there'll be 12 of them. But so Paul's arriving at Ephesus. This is his second trip to Ephesus. His first time was back there in Acts 18, verse 19. It would have been the first time he went to Ephesus. All right, so end of verse 1, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Therefore he never saw the 12. They had never seen the 12. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, that shows you right there that they are Jews, in fact. And of course, at the beginning, during the Acts ministry, Paul is always going to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. All right, let's just stop there. A whole lot there we can really cover. So you at least see in verse 7, we're talking about 12 men back in verse 1 when he comes to certain disciples. There's 12 of them, as verse 7 tells us. Now, a couple of things here. So he says, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we've never heard there's a Holy Ghost. You know, what are you talking about, basically? And he says, well, what then? Were you baptized? Unto the baptism of John. So let's just take a little bit of time and research that. So let's go back to Mark, the baptism of John. So go back to Mark, chapter 1. Mark 1. And let's just start right in the beginning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. Okay, the baptism of John. So, yes, you can see there, it definitely involves water baptism. Okay, no question. This is going to be fun, isn't it?
Oh, good. Bring it.
Oh, two people are
here. Brian?
Santa Claus.
That's the undercover cop.
Can we cut and merge, or is there a way to pause?
I can't do it. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll just try our best, gang, to continue our Bible study here. Unbelievable.
Should we go get our CHL?
Okay, so. So, for the internet people, sorry for the delay here, but.
SWAT team is out back.
They're keeping us safe. Austin's finest are keeping us safe for sure right now. Okay. I'll just ask everybody the best you can try to, and the best I can, I'll try to do this as well.
I think this proves we need a new location.
So, yeah, Brian, how about, Brian, how about dropping that?
Take care of this kid. Look at what's
right there.
I think you need light.
I'm fine. Yeah, right. It's good there.
Okay, so what did Mark do? I mean,
to keep the innocent protected here and their names not on the internet, I'll just say our guests from Temple making their first trip on Sundays with us. I'm sure it'll be their, it may just be their last.
We'll cut this thing somehow.
Oh man. Wow.
Time and chance.
You really want to see what's going on out there.
Okay, so verse 4, and verse 5, there's no question that, yeah, go ahead and drop it if you would, please, so that we
don't have the distraction.
Yeah. That we're talking water baptism, okay? The River Jordan, all right? Obviously, a river infers water, so these people were baptized in the River Jordan, which would have been part of John's baptism. But verse 4, he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. If we were to stop in Acts chapter 3, that term, the remission of sins. So Acts chapter 3, the second time that Peter preaches in the book of Acts.
I'm back in Acts now, to
chapter 3 in Acts.
Okay.
And there may be a couple of these passages we read. We may need to really emphasize where we are with all the distractions going on here outside the window. Acts chapter 3, which would have been the first time that... Acts 3, verse 19. So when Peter preaches in 3:19, and he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." But we see back there that's the key is, when is the atonement? Okay, when are their sins blotted out? Okay, for us, it's today. It's the moment of our salvation. All right, that's when we receive the atonement. The people to whom John would have been preaching, to whom Peter and the 12 would have been preaching and teaching, it's at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. Okay?
So it's remission now, blotting out later.
Remission set aside versus receiving the atonement now. Exactly. All right. Back to Acts 19. Okay, so verse 4 of Acts 19 now. "So then, said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Okay, so John's preparing the way of the Lord. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right, now verse 5. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." and when Paul had laid his hands upon them. All right, so when they were baptized, it doesn't say that Paul did the baptism. So nowhere should you infer that Paul baptized these people, because actually, if you compare 1 Corinthians, all right, he says he only baptized, and he names Crispus, Gaius, the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Here, it didn't say that Paul baptized them in verse 5. It just says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Okay, so there it's going to mention when Paul is the one doing the act here. All right, so he lays his hands on them. They receive the Holy Ghost. Now, if you go through the book of Acts, every time someone is receiving the Holy Ghost, it took who to do that?
An apostle.
An apostle, exactly. Not a disciple, but an apostle. And there's how many apostles total?
13.
Okay, we had 12. Then Judas Iscariot hangs himself. Then Acts 1, they've got to replace him, and they replace him with
Matthias.
So now we have 12 again. And then in Acts 9, when Paul's saved, and he calls him, you know, he is an apostle. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Christ appeared to him. Okay, an apostle is one that is set forth. And Paul was sent forth. I meant sent. I think I said set. An apostle is sent forth. And Paul was sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is an apostle of Christ. And he had seen Christ.
What's the difference in that? Is it because one is in your relationship is direct with the Lord Jesus versus your relationship? In other words, can
I need
an
to go to
make another apostle, or apostles make disciples?
Apostles make disciples.
And then Jesus makes apostles.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's exactly it. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I was going to go to a football analogy. I'm trying not to do that today. They make a lot of help us understand, though. So an apostle has to be at the feet of the person and be sent forth by that person. If you will, that person has said, okay, I know you've been here enough. I see that you understand, and I've taught you, and I am sending you forth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is 2.5 years that the Lord Jesus Christ is with the 12, teaching them, preparing them to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes at a point in the future. They are then apostles, right? Paul is an apostle also. All the others are called disciples of. All right, so when I was coaching, for instance, football, I'm a disciple of Vince Lombardi. I never saw the man in person. All right, but I'm a disciple of the teachings of Vince Lombardi. And I followed that when I was coaching. An apostle of would have had to go to school, if you will, that Vince Lombardi would be standing in front of people. And you come there, and once you've learned from him personally and passed the test, if you will, and then he says, okay, Brian, you've passed the test. I send you forth to coach. You could say you're an apostle of Vince Lombardi. I could only say, and I only ever could say, I'm a disciple of his teachings, but I'm not an apostle of, because I wasn't physically with him, nor was I sent forth by him. Make sense?
Thank goodness for football.
There you go. It clears it up. Jerry, that makes sense?
So it just turns me off.
God.
I hear football.
In verse 5, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized. So they heard, believed in,
yes,
trusted on. Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, that's what's going on there, yes. Okay. And the key here is now in verse 6, that it took an apostle, just like it did. Let's look at an example back in Acts chapter 8. This will be a great example, without using football, a great example of this progression of events. All right, so verse 5 of Acts chapter 8. Okay, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Did Philip do miracles?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he said he did, right? So he could do miracles. But watch, okay. So now come down to verse 14. Verse 14. Now when the apostles, right? The 12. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Now how did the Samaritans receive the word of God? Philip. And they saw him do miracles. So when the heard that Samaria had received the word of God, verse 14, they sent unto them Peter and John. Are they apostles?
Yep.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, they're the two of the key ones. Verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Well, have they received the Holy Ghost yet? No, not if they're praying for them to receive it. And then what happens in verse 16? For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. It took Peter and John coming down there, praying with them and laying their hands on them for them to get the Holy Ghost. Philip was a disciple, but he was not one of the apostles. And Philip could do miracles, but he did not have the power to give the Holy Ghost. Everybody see that in the Scripture? Any question on that? It took an apostle to get the Holy Ghost. Again, at that time, things different today. This, remember, Book of Acts is a transitional book. We're watching things transition, progress from one doctrine through a few state of affairs to the doctrine that the prison epistles teach us. Okay? All right. So just wanted you to see, like, Acts 8 is a good example how it took an apostle, Peter and John, to go down there. All right, now back to our study in Acts 19. So verse 6, Paul lays his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Whoa. Again, the signs, right? And who requires a sign in 1 Corinthians?
The
Jews, absolutely. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. So this is all part of the plan, how it always happens back in the book of Acts. Okay, the Jews need to see that sign, and that's how they know, okay, this is of God, absolutely. All right, verse 7, all the men were about 12. And he went in, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, just like he did in Acts 13. Okay, but notice he goes in the synagogue again. Just like we studied last week, when he got to Corinth, he went into the synagogue first until the Jews blasphemed. In Acts 17, it told us, Paul, as his manner was, went into the synagogue. So during the book of Acts, Paul always goes to the synagogue first. He's still bound by the promise to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. So he goes to the synagogue where you would have Jews and Jewish proselytes, those that fear God, right? And when the Jews blaspheme, then Paul is released from the promise to Abraham. He then goes to another building, another house, another somewhere. We'll find out where here in just a minute. Okay, it's going to be a school of Tyrannus. Okay, but he goes somewhere else, opens up shop, and now whoever wants to come can, but it's primarily the Gentiles. The more we say don't, the more they're going to, right?
Yeah. So, is there a...
Just proof that the nature of man is the nature of man, and things we don't need to be taught.
Tell them yes. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, is there any point that the Jews, where he went into a synagogue, that you know, that he actually was, that the word was accepted?
No.
Well, accepted by some, but by
yeah,
most
accepted
not.
By some, but the majority blasphemed. And it, matter of fact, this is the longest.
3 months?
3 months, yes. Where the synagogue still accepted him. Sometimes it only took 3 weeks.
Yeah, that was.
And the guy was last week. It only took 3 weeks. Here, I guess you learned from last week.
And also, in some cases, one day. Is that right?
In some cases, one day. Exactly. Okay. So here, he lasts 3 months in the synagogue. Verse 9, the same pattern that we've studied time after time. Verse 9, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. All right, and this continued by the space of 2 years. Wow, okay, so 2 years he's going to stay in Ephesus. 2 years after he separates from the synagogue. All right, so he's teaching these people for the next 2 years so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Don't ever let that bother you when people say, well, Paul did miracles. Yes, he did during the book of Acts. We see later near the end of the book of Acts that he loses his ability to heal people. He loses his ability to perform miracles. Never follow what you see Paul do. Don't follow the acts of Paul. Remember, the literal title of this book is the Acts of the Apostles. All 13 of them. Not just the 12. 13, including Paul, the 13th apostle. All right, we had two 12s. Right, but all 12, and then the 13th. It's the Acts of the Apostles. Don't follow what you see Paul do. Follow what you see, or what you read, Paul teaching in the books of Romans to Philemon. And when he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that includes rightly dividing Paul's books, Paul's doctrines that he taught in Romans to Philemon, rightly dividing the Acts epistles from the prison epistles. Okay, Acts epistles, Romans, first, let's go through the order that he wrote the Acts epistles. Okay, Galatians, then 1 and 2 Thessalonians, then 1 Corinthians, then Romans, then 2 Corinthians. Matter of fact, we're going to see here in just a little bit where 1 Corinthians is written. Right, and then the seven prison epistles, as they appear in the Bible, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Yes, sir?
As far as the statement, don't do as Paul does in the book of Acts, definitely applies to us. But going through the letters of when each... in the prison epistles after Acts, being Philippians, and he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Mm-hmm. And the God of peace shall be with you. So we're to do those things which would be after the book of Acts.
After the book of Acts.
Which would be Romans to the Philippians, which would be to us. We could put ourselves.
Yes, absolutely we could. So, that's a great point.
So when you see Paul saying, hey, those things you've seen me do,
dispensationally where they belong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, being a prison epistle. Thank you for pulling that out. Okay, so because you see Paul water baptize just a couple people. You see him perform miracles. You see him doing healings. Hey, again, that all ends, as he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All these things will come to an end, and they did. When that which is perfect is come. When the word of God is fulfilled, as he tells us in Colossians as well, that he fulfilled the word of God for us. All right? So that's, and tongues. Okay? When all of those things ended. Tongues, prophecies, miracles, healings, they all came to an end. At the end of the Acts period, around AD 68. Questions? Good? Okay. So back to Acts 19. So let's hit verse 11 again. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. You see the power that Paul had, much like, remember, the power of Peter's shadow? Just his shadow passing over some people would heal them. Back in Acts 3, 4, 5, 6, okay, back in that time period. All right, there was power with these apostles. And Paul had those same powers during the book of Acts.
We have TV celebrities that think they
Yeah, exactly. And good, you know, so real quick for the camera, we have TV celebrities that think they have that. Yes, we do. The arrogance of that. The only people in the Bible that had that, well, I'm confusing too. There were 13 apostles that had that, and there were 7 disciples given those powers to heal and perform miracles. Outside of that, nobody else had them.
We
have record of. Okay? And what we're going to see right here are sorcerers that want that power.
Amen.
So the arrogance of anybody today in this day and age to think that they had the power that only 13 very special men had, and then 7 others. And that's it in your Bible. So verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Boy, we could use a little book burning right out there, couldn't we, right now? Maybe some other things we could throw in that fire from the cars or whatever. I don't know what else. But, hey, in general, though, a book burning would not be a bad thing.
They're locked and loaded.
Yes, locked and loaded.
Literally, huh? Okay. And that's verse 21. After these things, so verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. There is power in the word of God. Never forget that. That is where the power is today, is in the word of God. Right? That's why we need to make sure that we're either reading the word ourselves to people, or that we're flipping the book around and letting them read the word of God. But it's got to be the Word of God that's being read, that's being preached, because the power's in the Word. And maybe another good 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but it's God that giveth the increase. Okay? No one should ever think that they've got any power in anything today. Our job is absolutely to plant seeds and to water seeds. And when people get saved, praise the Lord, it's God that giveth the increase.
Yeah.
You know, be careful of using that term. Well, I got them saved. Excuse me? You know, who got them saved? You know, God and the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that. Our role in that is to plant seeds and to water seeds. And praise the Lord for every opportunity that you have. And be prepared for those opportunities. There's not much greater reward when it comes to reward time. All right, then planting seeds and watering seeds that have been planted to the point of someone coming to the point of salvation. Besides that, you never know who the last one is to get saved, to fill up the body of Christ, and we can all go be together as the body of Christ. So that sure seems every day like we're one day closer every time, but man, oh man, it sure seems like the end times are around the corner. So preach the word every time you get a chance, for sure. All right, verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. And he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season, and I would suggest to you, and wrote 1 Corinthians during that time. Come over to 1 Corinthians 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, and 1 Corinthians, two books to the right of Acts, 1 Corinthians 16, so this would be the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. So he's starting to sign off, and near the end, verse 7, he says, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Back to 19:22. At the end he said he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And in Asia, where is he? He's in Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 16:8. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Okay, so in Acts 19, verse 22, I would suggest to you that that's exactly during that time period is when he is writing the book of 1 Corinthians. All right, 23, and at that time, there arose no small stir about that way. Remember in your King James Bible, that way and this way. And by the way, just about every other version will call it the way. King James has this way and that way throughout the book of Acts. This way refers to the doctrine that Peter and the 12 were preaching. That way refers to the doctrine that Paul taught and preached. A differentiation. Once again, where the other versions are going to say the way. Can't win. Okay. Mama's touch always takes care of it. All right, the way, you don't know. Kind of like you, the these and thous in King James versus you. Okay, plural and singular. Just another little difference there. We'll even see a few differences in the second hour here as well. All right, verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Okay, so you see what's going on. We've got these guys that work with silver and make little statues unto the goddess Diana. Silver shrines for Diana. Does it sound like anything that goes on today? Can you think of any groups that have little shrines unto a female goddess? Or what they make to be a female goddess? She may not have been in the Bible, but they make her out to be one. Verse 25, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. And don't miss verse 27 and the order. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, oh yeah, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Verse 27, so that not only...
Yes. What did you say?
You know, I appreciate the fact that people bring their families because that's what's great about this. It really is. And I know it seems tough, but there's no better time to learn than starting at 2 years old and 3 years old and 4 and 5. And everybody else understands because we've all been there. And we understand fully. And so I applaud you. Exactly. I can remember when ours were 2 and 3, and let's see, they would have been 2, 5, and 7 at that age. And if it wasn't the 2-year-old doing what 2-year-olds do, then it was the 5 picking on the 7 or the 7 picking on the 5. And you know, doing what is natural at those ages. So, not a problem. Not a problem. Okay, so verse 27. So that not only this, our craft is in danger. The first thing they were worried about was their back pocket. And what's amazing, you think back there in Acts chapter 5, right? So Acts 5, Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, they did what they were supposed to do, but they were going to worship God their way. They went out and they sold their possessions, and they brought the money to lay at the apostles' feet, and they just kept back a little bit of it in their back pocket, just in case this program wasn't everything that Peter and the 12 said it was, right? And they both get struck dead. They're putting their wealth first ahead of what God told them. What does he do here? This guy Demetrius, the first thing he's worried about is his craft. Verse 27, so that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, and it's almost an afterthought. Oh yeah, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Okay?
That's human.
It's absolutely human. Okay? Now money's the root of all evil, right? The love of money. Don't ever let anybody tell you that money is the root of all evil. It's not. There's a lot of good that can be done with money.
Amen.
There are some very, very successful men, and as families, they have made decisions to use the way they've been blessed to further the teaching of the Word, to provide ways for others to learn the Word, to hear the Gospel. And so I'm always got to be careful because of videotaping. But I can say it this way. Brother Jerry had an individual, and we got to know over the years as well, that had a very successful business. And you know, we throw around the term 10%. Okay, tithing is not for today. Giving absolutely is. Okay, giving, you know, give with a cheerful heart. And that's the only way you receive blessing, is if you're giving not out of necessity, not because you feel like you have to, but because you want to, and you want to do something to further the preaching of the gospel. Amen for that. Okay? It's the attitude that's important. As Paul says in Philippians, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. The person that's doing the giving is the one that gets the fruit, gets the reward. Okay? But only if they're doing it with the right intent. If they're doing it, I'm giving. And even if they give 10%, quote unquote, all the time, which again is not today, tithing is not today. Okay, but they're giving with the wrong attitude, they're not going to get the rewards they would if they gave 2% with a great attitude.
Versus Ananias and Sapphira.
How we sort of got here at the beginning, because they're keeping back part. Their attitude towards money. Okay, their attitude was in the wrong spot.
And they were required to.
Different from today. They thought they were in the trib. It's the only way they're going to get through, have all things common. Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they're doing that throughout, having all things common. And all means all, always has, always will. Okay? But this one person, a very successful business, and it was like the more he gave, the more successful his business went. And I want to be careful, because I'm not saying that the only reason a person's business ever gets better is because, you know, they are giving like that. But does the Lord bless a person's attitude and giving that way? Absolutely. And that guy, that family was just a great example of that. Nobody else knew that, just because we're many, many years later. I guess we'll go ahead and share it to that extent. I've heard Jerry say it to that extent. So before I get myself in trouble, I'm going to stop the discussion there. And anyway, you get the it's the attitude towards money. Okay, it's the love of money, and that is in 1 Timothy. The love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, if we love, if we're making more and pursuing more for the love of it, then that would, I would suggest to you, is a wrong reason to be pursuing it. It's what do we, what's our attitude? Okay, enough said. Attitude's a key part, as it is with so many things. All right, so verse 28, when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." The whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Anyway, this is probably a good place to stop here for today. We'll wrap up this up next week, especially given what we want to do the rest of today. All right, so Brian, if you'll go ahead and kill Acts 19.
Kill Acts 19.
That's good, isn't it?